order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in His justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of His will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrochin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work in the light of truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrochin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers the light and their long for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to earnest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "The inner voice. The so-called inner voice, the spiritual part of man, to which he can listen, is the intuition. It is not without reason that people say the first impression is always right. As all such expressions and proverbs harbor profound truth, so also here, by the word impression is meant intuition. For example, what a man intuitively senses at a first meeting with a stranger can either be a kind of warning to be careful, which may even go as far as absolute repugnance, or something pleasant mounting to a feeling of complete affinity. In some cases, it may also be indifference. If now, in the course of conversation or further interaction, this impression is brushed aside or entirely effaced through the judgment of the intellect, so that the thought arises that the original intuition was wrong, it almost invariably turns out at the end of such an acquaintance that the very first intuition was the right one. And this often occurs to the bitter suffering of those who allow intellect to mislead them through the deceptive nature of the other person. The intuition, which is not bound to space and time, but connected with its homogeneous kind, with the spiritual, immediately recognized the true nature of the other person and did not allow itself to be deceived by the cleverness of the intellect. It is absolutely impossible for the intuition to err. Whenever man is led astray, there are two reasons for his errors, either the intellect or the feeling. How often one hears it said, in this or that matter, I allowed myself to be guided by my feelings and got into trouble. One should only rely on one's intellect. Such persons have mistaken their feelings for their inner voice. They praise their intellect, and I have no idea that it is just the intellect which plays such an important part in their feelings. Therefore, be on your guard. Feeling is not intuition. Feeling emanates from the physical body. This generates instincts, which, guided by the intellect, produce feeling. It differs greatly from intuition. The combined working of feeling and intellect, however, gives birth to imagination. Thus, on the spiritual side, we have only the intuition, which is far above space and time. On the earthly side, we have, for instance, the physical body, which is bound to space and time. From this body emanate instincts, which in cooperation with the intellect arouse feelings. The intellect, being a product of the brain, bound to space and time, and the finest and highest element in matter, is able, with the cooperation of feeling, to produce imagination. Imagination, therefore, is the result of the working together of feeling and intellect. It is ethereal, but without spiritual power. For this reason, imagination has only a retroactive effect. It can influence only the feelings of its creator, but never of itself send out a wave of power to others. Thus, imagination only works backwards upon the feeling of its originator. It can only inflame its enthusiasm, but never influence its surroundings. This clearly stamps it as belonging to an inferior order. It is different with the intuition. This bears within itself a spiritual power, creative and animating, and sending forth radiations which fire and convince others. Thus, we can observe on the one side the intuition, and on the other the body, instincts, intellect, feeling, imagination. The intuition is spiritual and stands above earthly conceptions of space and time. Feeling is of fine gross matter, is dependent on instincts and intellect, and is therefore of a lower order. Although feeling consists of fine gross matter, it can never coalesce with, and thus cannot dim, spiritual intuition. The intuition will always remain pure and clear because it is spiritual, and it will always be clearly sensed or heard if it really is the intuition which speaks. But the majority of people have closed themselves to this intuition by pushing their feelings in front of it like a dense veil or wall. Then they mistake the feeling for the inner voice, as a result of which they experience many disappointments. This prompts them to rely even more on their intellect, never suspecting that it was just through the cooperation of the intellect that they could be deceived. As a result of this error, they are quick to reject everything spiritual, with which their experiences had absolutely nothing to do, and turn more and more to that which is inferior. The fundamental evil here, as in many other matters, lies in the voluntary subjection of these people to their intellect, which is bound to space and time. The man who completely subjects himself to his intellect also subjects himself completely to the limitation of the intellect, which, as a product of the gross material brain, is fast bound to space and time. In this way, man chains himself exclusively to gross matter. All that a man does, he does himself and his own free will. Thus, he is not being fettered, but he fetters himself. He permits himself to be dominated by the intellect. This could never happen unless he desired it himself, which by its very nature binds him to space and time, and prevents him from recognizing or understanding anything which lies beyond. Through the limitation of the perceptive capacity, a veil firmly bound to space and time therefore covers the intuition, which goes beyond space and time. This acts like a boundary, and man can either no longer hear anything whatever, his pure inner voice having been stifled, or he can only hear his feeling, which is closely connected with the intellect instead of his intuition. It will create a false idea to say feeling suppresses the pure intuition, for nothing is more powerful than the intuition. It is man's highest power and can never be suppressed or prejudiced by anything. It is more correct to say man makes himself incapable of recognizing his intuition. Failure lies always and only with man himself, never because of the strength or weakness of his specific, for just the fundamental gift, the actual power, the strongest part of man, which is the bearer of all life and immortal, is given to all alike. In this respect, no one has an advantage over another. All differences are owing only to the way in which it is used. Neither can this fundamental gift, the immortal spark, ever be dimmed or tarnished. It remains pure even amid the greatest filth. You need only tear the veil which we have wrapped round you through the voluntary limitation to which you have subjected your perceptive ability. Then, without any transition whatever, it will flare up again as pure and clear as it was at the beginning, unfolding itself fresh and strong to unite with the spiritual. Rejoice that this treasure lies inviolable within you. It is of no importance whether you are esteemed by your neighbors or not. Every bit of dirt that has gathered like a dam around this spirit pack can be cast aside through honest goodwill. If you have achieved this and again liberated the treasure, you are worth just as much as he who never buried it. But woe unto him who, through indolence, completely closes himself to willing what is good. In the hour of judgment, this treasure will be taken from him, and it will then cease to be. Therefore, awake, you who keep yourselves closed, you who have drawn the cover of your intellect over your intuition, thus limiting your ability to understand. Take heed and listen to the warnings that assail you, whether it be in the form of a terrible grief, a great inner upheaval, severe suffering, or impure joy, all of which are capable of bursting through the dark layer of base feelings. Do not let any such thing go by without profiting from it. They are aids which show you the way. It is better if you do not first wait for them, but set out with the harnessed volition for all that is good and for spiritual ascent. In so doing, the separating layer will soon become thinner and lighter again, until finally it disintegrates altogether, and the still pure and untarnished spark bursts forth into a blazing flame. But this first step must and can be taken only by the individual himself, otherwise it cannot be helped. Therefore, you must discriminate sharply between wishing and volition. Nothing is achieved by wishing. It brings no advance. There must be a volition which impels and carries it into action. A serious volition is the beginning of a deed. Even if many a man must travel on various bypaths, because in the past he had entirely enslaved himself to the intellect, if you have no fear on that account, he will also gain. For him, it means to clarify his intellect and slowly detach himself from and remove all hindrances through every single experience he has to undergo on all the bypaths. Therefore, advance bravely. With an honest volition, every path will finally lead to the goal. End of quote. Just listen to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work in the light of truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message can be obtained on Grailland, Edu Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to a public lecture based on the Grail Message. Date, Sunday, 5th April, 2015. Venue, Assembly Hall, Grailland, Edu Hills, Lagos. Topic, Why Does Mankind Still Fail? Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we enter the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. Again, 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. So let's make some announcements of Grace Centers, where copies of the Grace Message can be obtained. In Abuja, Kuje area, the Grail Information Center is on Secretarial Road behind Etsuchin Campaign Office, Kuje. Also at the Federal Housing Authority, Phase 2, Road 21, House 22, Lugbe. And of course, the Grail Center is on Suleja Road, Madala. In Lagos, in Ikorodu, the Grail Center, 2 Ogunaye Street, off Awolowo Way, Okeota Ono. In Ikeja, 22 Ajao Road, Ikeja, off Adeni Jones. In Victoria Island, Luzem Plaza, Kilometer 8, that's Igbo Efon, Lekki Epe Express Road, opposite UBA, before Chevron Runabout, Lekki. Alright, now let's take some text messages. How do I forgive my neighbors? It sins against me. Well, you will have to find it within your heart to forgive your neighbor. When your heart bids you do it, there is profit in forgiving one's neighbor. But then you have to do it sincere, with the sincere in your heart bids you do it. Because it's only when we forgive that we too can also be finally be free to enter paradise. Anne is calling from Ijesha.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, good evening. Yes, good evening.
But I want to ask, I heard the volunteer of the Grail message today.
Yes.
That I have the creator. I've never ever come down to earth.
Yes.
But when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses, I heard that Moses asked him that he wants to see his face. Because he told him that he cannot see his face, that he can only allow him to see his back. I have put him in a cave. That's that mountain. And he passed every record of Moses only saw the back of God. So, isn't that contradicting now to say that God can never come down to earth?
All right. Now, the Almighty Creator, you do not understand His power. He cannot come down before, you know, he has to clothe Himself in a form for Him to be even recognized by those in the divine kingdom. The real essence of the Almighty Creator is, according to the knowledge given to mankind in the Great Message, is unsubstantiated. That is, that which has no form. Whereas everything else is substantiated. That is, everything else has form. Depending on the area or the region where that entity, it can have a divine form or a primordial spiritual form. That is, in the radiations that emanate from the Almighty or the spiritual. But the Almighty Himself is unsubstantiated. And His power is so enormous. And He has so many messengers and servants. So what does He want to come to the earth to do? He sends His teachers, His prophets, His angels, and these deliver His message. What man needs to know or to do is to recognize these messages. It is not possible for the human spirit to see the Almighty Creator. You yourself, you have been told, no man shall see God and shall live. But man has the ability to recognize the will of God. The will of God manifests as a laws. And so that is our duty as human beings. We can recognize His will if we put our mind to it. All right, Samuel is calling from Nasarawa State. Hello, Samuel.
My question is, who is Jesus according to Great Message?
Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen to the radio for the response. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is only until you get a clear understanding of what actually a son really means. And you are told in the great message that a son means a part of, that part of the Almighty that stands for love. So Jesus Christ is the inborn son of the Almighty. He is the love of God. While Emmanuel is the outborn son. Outborn son means that son that was born out of the divine kingdom and through whose tradition creation came into existence. That's the meaning of the son of man. And Emmanuel is identical with the Holy Spirit. So that is how you get the Holy Tree Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before creation came into existence, God was unity. With the beginning of creation, when he severed a part of his will to work separately, independently in creation, he became twofold. And when enchained humanity was at the point of being enveloped completely by darkness, for the sake of the few, he permitted his love to incarnate on earth. And with the birth of Jesus, he became a Trinity. So it is only in the great message you understand these concepts: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The concept of God the Father and the Son is clear to many, but the concept of the Holy Spirit is very confusing to many. But the Holy Spirit himself is also a Son of God, a part of the Almighty, that part that stands for the love, for the will, for justice. It is this Holy Spirit that bears the law. That is why he said that sins against the Father or the Son can be forgiven, but sins against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven, because he is the bearer of the law. All right, Emmanuel is calling from Ilorin. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
My question, hello, I am
sorry. Yes, go on.
Okay, I have two questions. Number one.
Okay.
I hope there's something to see that we have seven heavens. As also we have three heavens.
All right.
Please, how many heavens do we actually have? And number two, what is the meaning of the Bermuda Triangle? What is the function? And how does it come to existence?
All right. Now, talking about the heavens, through the knowledge given to mankind, the great mercy, you now know how the spiritual kingdom is divided, the various planes in the spiritual kingdom. You know, generally, the Almighty, you can say, he created heaven and earth. Heaven represents the spiritual, earth represents the material. In the spiritual, there are three main divisions, and that is the primordial spiritual, that is in creation. The primordial spiritual, that is those who are highly spiritual, that is one realm. That realm itself has seven planes. Then followed by the spiritual, which is another realm, and that itself has seven planes. The seventh plane in the spiritual is the paradise of the human spirit. Then followed by the world of matter, the material world, that also has seven parts. So that is how everything is arranged. The primordial spiritual parts, the spiritual has seven parts, the material world also has seven parts. You will also find this seven part compartment wherever the will of the Almighty is at work, because Emmanuel is the will of God, who also bears seven in his name. Emmanuel, seven letters. All right, Pastor Unomu is calling from Benin.
Yeah, Pastor Unomu.
Okay. Go on.
Okay, sir. Now, I want to ask this question.
Okay.
About the Grail Message book.
Okay.
With Bible. Can you compare any book in this world?
All right. Okay. Is there any other question?
Because you are turning the Bible upside down.
Listen to the radio.
You just turn the Bible upside down and lead people out of the way.
All right. Listen to the radio.
Want you to read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Go there and you will see. There is no book where you can compare with the Bible in this world.
All right. Okay. Listen to the radio for the response. If truly you are a pastor, as you claim, then you must also have read where Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "For we know in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." You must have come across that. And that is already to tell you that even the disciples knew that there is something more to come. When Jesus Christ told the disciples that, "How be he when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you unto all truth." What do you think that represents? You have to await the new to come. When Jesus Christ said he will send the Comforter, what do you mean? What do you think it is? But then, it is only he who is inwardly alert who will recognize these things. Kayode is calling from Abuja. Hello, Kayode.
Hello?
Yes, you are on.
Huh?
You are on, yes. You are on, Kayode. Go on.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah. My question is, what is the Grail Message all about? And who is the author of the Grail Book?
All right, the Grail Message is not a new religion. It does not bring a new religion. It simply brings the truth. And the truth is addressed only to those who are genuinely seeking. The author of the Grail Message is Abrushin. If you want to know who he is, examine his work, and then you find out who he is. But the teachings of the Grail Message and the true teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ are one. They are from the same source. And the Grail Message is the continuation of the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the consolidation of the teachings of Jesus, and at the same time, it is the completion of the message of Jesus Christ. The Grail Message and the teachings of Jesus are from the same source, but it is he who is inwardly alert who will recognize the teachings of the Grail Message. Because the message is addressed only to those who are honestly seeking. It's not addressed to everybody. The author of the Grail Message does not address it to churches, to fraternities, to groups, but in all simplicity, he addresses his message to the individual human being. Because only he is responsible for everything he thinks and does. So, for those who are truly seeking, examine the Grail Message. Alright, let's take another text message here. After taking this call, Ade BC is calling from Akure. Hello, Ade BC. Hello, Ade BC, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go on with your question.
Okay, thank you. My question is this. Hello, can you hear me?
Go on, we are hearing you.
Okay, my question is this. Who does it mean to be preaching Abrushin's message or the message in the Bible? Because you seem to make a lot of reference to Abrushin. And when the question comes, you use the Bible to answer most of the questions. I'm trying to make a suggestion here. Are you preaching Abrushin's message or the message of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is this message about? That's my question.
Now, the question. All right, the message. Now, the great message, as I've said before, if you are listening, is the continuation of the message of Jesus Christ. The great message is the consolidation of the teachings of Jesus Christ. The great message is the completion of the teaching of Jesus Christ. So, it is now up to you to find out why it is so. You just have to find out. It's now up to you. All right, let's take another text message here. On the saying that the end justifies the means, does this mean I bend a few rules to meet an end if it is the only available option? That saying is wrong. The end does not justify the means. That is the intellect speaking. When it says the end justifies the means, it's wrong. According to the laws of God, the end does not in any way justify the means. What you sow, you must always reap. But this is the area that many people like to deceive themselves. Some will say they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they contradict themselves by saying things that Jesus Christ did not say, or believing things that Jesus Christ said otherwise. So how then can you say you are a follower of Jesus? Jesus Christ said, what you sow is what you reap. But the vast majority of those who call themselves followers of Jesus or Christians believe contrary, saying that Jesus Christ has come to take away their sins, deceiving themselves. When Jesus himself said that what you sow is what you reap, and believing that Jesus Christ has come purposely to die on the cross for them, when there are even statements in the Bible that says the contrary. For example, in the book of John, Jesus was discussing with the people, and the people were angry against him, and they said, we are Abraham's children. And Jesus Christ said, Abraham's children, you will do what Abraham did. But here, you are seeking to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which he learned from God. Abraham will not act that way. But there it is in the Bible. But they won't see that one. All right, Dele is calling from Ipaja. Hello, Dele.
Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure hearing your voice tonight.
All right.
In one of the lectures that I attended, I had one of the instructors talking about God being, talking about the different religions we have, whether Buddhist, whether Islam, whether Christian, and so on and so forth, coming from the same source. I just want to confirm if that is the position of the great message.
It is. Every teaching.
I will now have to go further to ask another question. One other lecture that I had you, there was one funny that you talked about one of the unique quality of God being ever constant. So are his will and his law. No room for changing. It doesn't change.
Yes.
It's always constant.
Yes.
The Bible that I read, to an extent, helped me to understand that he has a pattern for revealing truth to his children. And this pattern will never change. It has always been constant. And this pattern is, we call prophets. He gives this prophet his words, and this prophet delivers the message to, you know, the people. Now, how will you help us, you know, or convince us to agree on the point that Islam and Christian come from the same source when their teachings and virtually everything that they do with us, they are mutually exclusive? How will you convince me to believe that? And if indeed it was from God, then that means the God we are serving is an author of confusion. And God is never an author of confusion. Everything that he does is what we ultimately need his children back to his person.
All right.
So giving this one to establish Islam with different doctrine, point of view, and then this one Christian, different point of view, they never agree on each other. How could God be such an author of confusion?
Okay, that listen.
Are we all before now and listen to your response from the the radio.
All right, please do that. Listen to the response from the radio. Now, it must also be clear to you, since we know all the teachings, whether it concerns Buddha or Krishna or Zoroaster or Lao Tse or Muhammad, they all emanated from the same source. But here, the form in which they are appearing are different in all of them, including the teachings brought by our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it must also be clear to you that the reason why it is so is because the human beings themselves have added to these teachings. That is the reason. When a prophet comes, he brings a teaching from the Almighty Creator to a people according to their level of spiritual maturity. His followers, after he leaves, the part of the message they do not even understand. And the ones they did not understand, which actually happens to be the core of the message itself, they will leave it aside. In time, they will forget about it. The ones they can understand only very little, they add to it according to their level of understanding. And that is why you have confusion today. That is why the teachings are not the same. The fault of human beings. Human beings are the ones who are adding their own foolishness into these teachings. And not only adding that, creating confusion among themselves and even killing themselves, believing that they are serving their Creator. The Almighty is perfect. His word is perfect. Why there is differences in the religions and the interpretation is because human beings have added to these teachings. For that reason also, a new teaching has come. It is the great mercy. But it is addressed only to those who are genuinely seeking. Olani is calling from Ayobo.
Hello.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, go on.
Go on. Why are we so worried? Why we know that everything is vanity? Why are we even the churches and all the pastors, they don't know more than a prosperity preaching. And the church is all over. They forget our salvation, just prosperity.
So what's your question then?
I say, why are we so worried
about
everything in the world?
Okay.
Then you know that everything is vanity.
Yes, that is actually the issue. Now, Jesus Christ said, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and every other thing shall be added unto you. But the religionists are seeking the earthly world, going against the injunctions of Jesus Christ. You can see it in everything. So it is now up to the individual to decide what he wants to do. But the knowledge is available. And it's only those who are seriously seeking that will understand it. Barrister Dan is calling from Gondo.
Hello, sir.
Good day.
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My name is Barrister Dan Okuda. I'm calling from Gondo.
Okay.
So, sir, the question I want to ask you is this, does God really have any stake in who governs a particular nation? Like, for instance, prior to this election, there have been so many predictions from this government of God. So we say that God has ordained Jonathan. So we say God has ordained Buhari. So I want to know, does God really have any faith in who governs a particular nation? That's my question.
All right. In actual fact, it is because we human beings have distorted the whole arrangement. And that is why today we have confusion everywhere. In the beginning, this is how the Almighty organized everything. The leader of a people is not chosen by the people, but is chosen by the Almighty Creator. And that leader already comes with qualities that can make him to lead. In actual fact, such a leader stands half a step higher spiritually than those he is to lead. And therefore, he has the experience, he has the knowledge, he has the know-how. And that leader himself is linked with a helper who is always standing beside him, who stands half a step higher than the leader, so that he is always connected. And that helper himself has his own helper that stands half a step higher spiritually. And so he goes on and on and on, all to the spiritual realm. And that is how everything is arranged. But now, because we have deviated so far from the will of the Almighty, we have disrupted that system, we now want to start choosing our own leaders. But imagine it like this. A people that are on the same level, then they are choosing among them another person who is also on the same level. Then what is he going to do? What is he going to lead? You are just choosing among yourself. So the leader in such a situation can only lead according to his level of recognition. And that is, human beings have created for themselves. But that is not how it was originally ordained. So that is that. Okay, another caller is here, and that is David, is calling from Festac.
Yes, please.
Good evening.
Hello, yes. I actually wanted to ask a question, because I kind of spotted a bit of, I wouldn't really say contradiction, but it's not really very clear to me.
What's that?
You talk about the laws that we need to be in tune with the laws to be able to ascend, and yes, ascend into our final place, our final destination.
Yes.
But here, in the Grail message, basically, you're giving doctrine. You've not ever stated a law. You understand? I don't think that you actually stated a law, or you actually know a law.
Have you read the Grail message?
Yeah. No, hold on.
Then how can you come and say that you are giving doctrine? You have not read it, and you are already making categorical statements about it.
Is it doctrine? You're trying to school us. Is it doctrine?
You have not read it.
It's not the law itself. You're not giving.
Okay, let me give you an example of a law. Let me give you an example of a law. The law says what you sow is what you reap. Is that a doctrine?
That's not a law, sir. That's not a solid law, sir. That's not a solid law.
So what you sow is not what you reap. It's not a solid law.
You're giving a doctrine. You're indoctrinated.
How can you be so narrow-minded and say what you sow is what you reap is a doctrine, is indoctrination? Have you ever sown maize and reaped yam? Have you ever sown rice and reaped rye? Can't you see the simplicity of the laws? As it is in the material, so also is it in the spiritual. What you sow is what you reap. It's a law. If you like, let 1,000 people sow maize in different parts of the world. As long as the soil can maintain that seed, they will always produce maize. It's a law. It is so constant. And then how can you call that a doctrine that is indoctrination? It is something you can verify. So it is only because you are prejudiced that you cannot see it. And that is the beauty of the great mercy. It is only those who are inwardly open that will now recognize it. The laws, there are three basic laws. And it is these laws that govern the entire creation. Everything is derived from these laws. And you can see it if you want to see it. When a goat birth, does it give birth to an elephant? When a ram gives birth, does it give birth to a lion? Can't you see in your environment that each kind will produce its own kind? Is it the same? What you sow is what you reap. But you are blind, you cannot see. You must open your eyes and see. So as it is with animals and plants, is also with human beings. In our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, what you sow is what you reap. It's a law. And our Lord Jesus Christ even emphasized it so many times. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. But many don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. They want to believe what they want to believe. Okay, another question is, what is the will of God? The will of the Almighty manifests as these adamantine laws, the laws of creation, those three basic laws. the law of sowing and reaping, the law of attraction of homogeneous species, the law that says birds of a feather flock together. You will always see it. Birds of a feather will always flock together. Those of the same character will always move together. And then the third law, that is the law of spiritual gravity, which says that whatever it is you do that is evil, it will make your spirit to become dark and it must sink. Whatever it is that you do that is good, it will make the spirit to become light and it must rise. It's a law. So that is the will of the Almighty. It is the manifestation. It manifests as the laws. And these laws are constant. They don't change. They always remain the same. For all eternity, they will never change. It is because they are perfect. That is why they don't change. That is why they do not change, because they are perfect. All right, Emeka is calling from Abuja. Hello, Emeka.
Hello,
yes, good day.
Hello, doctor.
Yes, I'm here, listening. Go on.
Doctor, my question is this. You said that the teaching of great message is not meant for everybody.
No, it is not meant for everybody. It's only meant for those who are seeking. It is addressed specifically only to those who are seeking. If you are not a seeker, it's not addressed to you. And there is no apology for it.
Okay, sorry, sir.
All right.
If you are a seeker, and because actually I've gone through some passages in that great message.
All right.
And the I don't know, the vocabulary there, that is why I say, is it meant for certain people? Is it for professors or for the
people? It's not for professors.
Why? Sorry, sir, I'm coming.
Okay.
Can't it be simplified? Again, can't it be translated in other languages like Bible, that is translated Hausa and all the rest? Can't it be done that way so that people can understand it more and it can spread more?
All right.
That's my question, sir.
Okay, now let me answer those questions. Number one, and the language of the great message. Well, you may say it is complicated, but it is not actually. Even a professor who is not inwardly open will not see it. He will not understand it, even though he can understand English. It is addressed to the human spirit who is open. And if somebody cannot understand the English or something like that, there are facilities at grace centers where we have a reading circle. People come together and somebody who has read it will lead them, and then they will read the great message together. As for translations, yes, that is going on, and in due course it will also be translated into all living languages. Already the original language in which it was written was German. Now it has been translated into English, to Spanish, to French, to Russian, to Arabic, and so on. Eventually, it will also be translated into the languages in our country here, Yoruba, Igbo, Hausa, and so on. All living languages, it will be.
Hello,
James is calling from Songwater. Hello, James.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I'm Peter from Tango.
Okay. Jacob, sorry.
My question is about this Holy Trinity, sir. Can you shed more light on that?
All right, the Holy Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now let me try and explain. You know, before creation came into existence, only the Almighty Creator and His divine kingdom was in existence. And this, the Almighty Creator and His divine kingdom, has existed from all eternity. That is, it has no beginning, no end. The Almighty Himself is light. He is power. He alone is life. This light cannot but radiate. But the power in the Almighty does not allow this light to go beyond a certain boundary. And it is at that boundary that there is the anchorage of the light. And at that boundary, where there is anchorage of the light, there is a great castle. But in the divine, there were also those who could not take on form, who could not be consciously alive. And they also had the wish to be alive, to be able to partake of the joys of life consciously. The exhausted residue of these radiations at the boundary of the divine, they sent forth a fervent prayer to the Almighty Creator. It was this prayer that the Almighty Creator acceded to and then gave the fiat, "Let there be light." Let there be light means let the light go beyond that boundary. Without fiat, a part of his will was put in the Holy Spirit, who now stood at the boundary and facing the void, and through his radiation brought about creation. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also in person, is a son, and is the will of God. It is through him that all creation came into existence. And he is the outborn son, whereas Jesus Christ is the inborn son, the son in the divine kingdom. That's why Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." When you read the great message, you can understand it better. Now let's remind our listeners that public lectures coming up in the month of May. The date is Sunday, 5th of April, 2015. Venue, Assembly Hall, Greyland, Eju East, Lagos. Time, "Why Does Mankind Still Fail?" Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lecture, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. For those who may still interact with us after this program, our website is www.truthofliferadio.com. Email, info@truthofliferadio.com. Email, telephone numbers, 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. "With my words, I lead to God, to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort." Words of Abrushin, author of The Great Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agbola, wishing you good evening.